Kof Beis Sivan, Tuesday the 5th of June, Rabbi Avigdor Brazil, Lo Sachnifu.
Right, the obvious sugya that one would talk about this week, between the sandwich between last week's parsha, next week's parsha, and the obvious connection. Number one, as I mentioned here before, seems to be this is the week I seem to be here with. So mentioned before, this is Musa week. Musa week, this is the week of Musa. Rav Balaylokhu Musa, the Meragalim did not learn Musa. That caused our situation, that caused the Cheta Meragalim, Tisha B'Av, and so on and so forth. So obviously this is Musa week, but the halachic connection would be that Miriam spoke, as it were, Loshon Hara, about Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Meragalim then speak Loshon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And Memela, you have this Avata, this is sort of a week one would want to look at, understand, delve into the halachas of Lashon Hara. And I mentioned here actually about three times different interesting halachas of Lashon Hara. I want to examine one particular element of Lashon Hara that the Chofetz Chaim mentions. And it's something, again, that comes up in the parasha with one of the personalities, one of the Giboirim, one of the Tzaddikim. The Chofetz Chaim, in his introduction to Hilchos Lashon Hara, goes through a list of how many lavim and how many asei, mitzvahs asei, one would be over, one would offend, they would contravene if one speaks Lashon Hara. He builds up a pretty heavy list, 6 or 7 default lavim. When you just say one word in Lashon Hara, you're seven, you're ready, 7 lavim. 7 lois aseis in the Torah, you are contravening, you're being over on 7. And then he adds on, you can get up to 16 in various circumstances. One of them, he says, well, form him over, oid al iso chanufa. There is an iso called chanufa. Now, one would translate that as flattery, but it's not as simple as that, and one has to understand when does this apply. This is one of the lavim, this is one of the halochas. You're learning Mishnah Brura, one learns Hilchas. You know, the Choshimishpat, Yeredeya, Erechaim, Ebenezer. This is one of the halachas. It's a lav in the Torah, according to many Rishonim. According to many Rishonim, it's a loisa semen eraisa. Doesn't seem to have structured halachas on it, but it's something very relevant to everyone almost daily. A loisa semen Torah, which is valued as every other loisa semen. In fact, it's, according to some Rishonim, it's worse. It causes worse problems. Loi sachnifu. What does it mean? So the Mishnah Berurah the Chofetz Chaim is talking about, his scenario is, when you speak Lashon Hara, the reason you're speaking is in order to find favor in the eyes of the person you're speaking to, who dislikes the person you're speaking about. So therefore you say the Lashon Hara to get on with him. So, apart from talking Lashon Hara, you've now done a lav of Lo Sachnifu. You have sort of flattered him, sucked up to him, as they used to say in the old Lashonis, etc. In order to get on with him, you are being over lav. That's how he says it. And he also says, the other way around, that when you're faced with someone who's in a senior position to oneself, and as I said, this is so relevant to life, and he talks Lashon Hara about someone, a boss at work, headmaster, headmistress, etc., in a school, when you're working with someone who's senior to you, and he or she says Lashon Hara, and in order to get on with them, because it's your job, it's your livelihood, and so on, you agree, you smile, you acknowledge, you add on, you are over Lo Sachnifu. Apart from the Lashon Hara, apart from being Mekabel Lashon Hara, one is over Lo Sachnifu. That is the Chofetz Chaim. But I want to examine this, expand it, and look at it. You know, this Lo Sachnifu, as I said, if we look at one of the classic Rishonim, who brings down the halachas, if you like, of these more, the rarer or more abstract type of loving, we'll find, for instance, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, here the Yizkelek Gimel, brings down all the mitzvahs that Losa says in the Torah, roughly, and he brings down over here about Losach Nifu. And I'm going to ask one question. It says in the Pasuk, Losach Nifu es ha'oretz. Losach Nifu es ha'oretz. Now we know there are two sorts of mitzvahs in the Torah. There are mitzvahs that tluyas ba'oretz, mitzvahs sheina tluyas ba'oretz, which means there are mitzvahs which are dependent on where you live, generally speaking, almost always, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, right? We just had, Moshe just was talking about the whether it's halacha in Eretz Yisrael or not. That's called mitzvahs tluyas ba'oretz. Tumas u'maisus, mitzvahs tluyas ba'oretz. You don't have to take tumas u'maisus from food and chutz la'aretz, etc. All of questions, but whatever it is, mitzvahs tluyas ba'oretz, or some are mitzvahs tluyas ba'beis hamikdash, and that we don't have at all nowadays. And the mitzvahs sheina tluyas ba'oretz, which are, as it were, personal mitzvahs, follow you around the world. Mitzvah that follows the person around the world, wherever you are. There are many mitzvahs, I say, as you say, you've got to daven, you daven, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in the West. You're not allowed to lie, you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a classic one. Don't talk Lashon Hara wherever you are. Now, Loisach Nifu, why does it say Loisach Nifu es Ha'oretz? How does that translate? Do not flatter. Well, it doesn't mean to flatter, that means don't do chanifa es ha'oretz. Why does it say es ha'oretz? It's clearly a love. It is clearly a loisase, which applies whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, whether you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So why is the posuk saying loisach nifu es ha'oretz? How does the word es ha'oretz come into this love of loisach nifu when we look at understanding? Now I'm actually going to say this is a very, very hard halacha I'm going to mention now. It's also a little bit controversial. So, no, you can leave it on. You can rub it out afterwards, you'll see if you want. It's a little bit controversial. We all Hamish Yidden here. So, it's an interesting halacha of Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, Rabbi Yosef Feinstein is, I would say he's schoilek on this, but it's a big kasha of Moshe Feinstein because he doesn't mention this Rabbeinu Yonah. This is a classic, Rabbeinu Yonah's Rishon. Well, we have to understand why Rav Moshe, or what did he think about it? He's coming from a different position, and I'll explain what I mean. The Rabbeinu Yonah has 9 levels of Chanifa. 9 levels, different stages where one would be over, right? Transgress the love of Chanifa. The highest level is when, and that, by the way, also applies to Lashon Hara very often. Classic situation we're all in like this. The highest level is when you say an Aveira is not an Aveira. Someone does an Aveira, and you say, no, that's okay. That is the highest level of Chanifa. That's the worst thing to do in Chanifa. Meaning, classic case in Lashon Hara, someone talks Lashon Hara, it's always happening. Someone talks Lashon Hara, someone says, oh, that's Lashon Hara. You just say Lashon Hara, no, it's not, no, it's not, it's okay. You find some sort of heter, some way of doing it. It's not Lashon Hara, it's okay to say. That happens so often in life. A talks Lashon Hara, B sort of suggests maybe that's Lashon Hara, and C comes along and says, no, it's not Lashon Hara. By approving of an Aveira, saying an Aveira is not an Aveira, you're over Lav Deraisa. According to the aim, according to at least 3 or 4 Rishonim, listed in Sefer Mitzvahs, of one of the Rishonim as well, when one approves of an Aveira, says an Aveira is not an Aveira, one is over Lav Deraisa of Loisach Nifu. That's not the controversial one. That is not the tough one. That is not the one that's going to be hard to hear. That's the first level. And to analyze it, what is actually going on? Is you, what is the Chanifa here? You are worried, as it put the beautiful Loshan, more the Ayin Shalmato mi Ayin Shalmalo. You're worried more about what people think than what God thinks. That is Chanifa. You're worried more because you want to get on with this person, because he's your friend, because he's your boss, because of public opinion, peer pressure. I am worried what he says, and I'm not going to stand up for God, and therefore I'll say this is okay. The pressure, the public pressure, public opinion, is going to make me say it's okay. Now, that is more or less how Rabbeinu Yonah, in all his 9 levels, defines Chanifa. Roughly speaking, you're going to try and make something comfortable for someone down here in this world, not worrying about what Rabbeinu Shlomo thinks about that. That's basically the problem with Chanifa. The second level, and this is the tough one, the second level down is like this. He actually mentions that you're chayiv to be moiser sakonet. You have to even put yourself in danger not to be over chanifa. Achelik hasheni hechonif vashei halel rosho lifnei bnei adam im b'fonavim shlo b'fonav. The second level is if you praise a wrongdoer in front of people. And this is carefully, this is the Kiddush of Benyon. Even if you don't praise his wickedness, his evil doing, you just say he's a good man. And it says with Benyon, he adds on the Loshon, if you mention the good, if you don't mention the bad, you cover it up. Those who listen will think this is a fine guy, an upstanding person, he's okay. He will be well established, people will think well of him, and so on and so forth, and that's wrong. So, that is, again, you have to look, if anyone wants to, you should look up after the Ben Yon, it's Kuf Pei Tes in Shari Tshuva, in the Chelik Gimel, you'll see there. And I'm going to try and explain this. Now, this is very careful, we have to say. We never judge people. Particularly nowadays, we have the famous Chazon Ish who holds that any irreligious person is a Tinuk Shenishba, roughly speaking. Why? Because there was no proper Teuchocho, no one knew, or no one gave them proper Teuchocho, no one said. I just had a school reunion, a 60th year school reunion, and that would be a story in itself if you wanted. I could really tell you interesting things about that, but that would take another hour. But I was actually... Interestingly enough, there was a colleague of mine, a manal of one of the schools, who I spoke at, and I spoke very movingly about this reunion because there was a particular point I wanted to make, but it wasn't that point. It was a point about apologising to someone, and he got up and he said, "I've never done this before," after speaker, and I also had a reunion, and I felt I needed to apologise on behalf of all the frum boys. It was in a school which had frum and not frum boys, that we weren't nice enough to the less frum boys, because who knows how much we could have been mashbiyonim. That was a 50-year-old man saying, and you know which school that was, right? So I actually didn't have that problem because I was friendly with everyone, but I had different problems, yeah. I had to apologize to different beings, let's say like that. So we don't have a judgment on anyone who's irreligious. Halacha. Maybe a Macy's, someone who's really going out of the way to destroy Yiddishkeit, we can have a problem with. So I'm saying that very, very clearly because you'll hear why in a minute. We don't have a problem, we don't judge, we don't say you're bad, etc. Legabe all halachas except this one. Meaning, v'hafka l'orecho k'moicho. V'chayol chicho imoch. All the halachas of helping, of being good to a person, etc. All the halachas of chesed, of achnasas orchim, all apply to all Jews. Irrespective of religion, whether they're religious or not. V'hafka l'orecho k'moicho applies to every year. They're not considered Rishoyim. Halacha. As I said, this is a Hamish Olam, and I'm going to be saying tough things. That's not the tough thing. The tough thing is, it doesn't apply to this halacha though. This particular halacha of accepting, confirming, praising an irreligious person, even if you're doing that, not in their irreligion, but in something good they're doing, then there would be a problem if you don't mention, but they're also irreligious. Halacha lemaisa. One would have a plumber. Let's make it easier. Let's make it easier because I'm going to say it beremez now. Because again, I feel it's so sort of controversial to say this in an English, a good middle-stick English on Olam. But let me try and just let's make it in a remez. So you say, you know someone who's a non-Jewish person who is a very bad person. Very bad person, let's just say. Not all non-Jews, Chas v'Shalom. Just say a non-Jewish person who's very bad. He's a criminal, right? But he's a good plumber. Are you allowed to say, recommend him to your friend and say he's a good plumber? The halacha is no. You have to say, he's a good plumber. You have to say, he's a good plumber. He's a criminal, but he's a good plumber. He's a criminal, but he's a good plumber. That's what Ben Yonah says. You're not allowed to mention only the good things. You have to. And why does this apply? Why does this apply in spite of the fact that we've established clearly that every Yid, Yochai Vachlechok Mechel, there's no such thing as a Shoiv nowadays almost, right? There's no such thing as an evil Jew. Nowadays, in halachic terms. Why does this apply? Because the problem over here is Chanifa is establishing, accepting a way of life, a standard of life, a style of living, and it becomes accepted without mentioning that this isn't a good way to live. This isn't a good thing to do. And the problem is not the person that you're talking about, it's the people you're talking to. In other words, when one goes around and allows and grants, there's sort of a default way of existing and living, which is not a Torah-dic way, a person should be doing that, and you accept that, no problems, and you don't mention, but there's a problem there, that becomes accepted in society, and that is an insidious influence on Klal Yisrael, on children, that, okay, it's okay, you found an honest person who's not a good person, but you've said he's honest, but now the thing's not good. So he said, you can be not good. You could be someone who does bad things, and you still get praise for it. You are now establishing in society a way of looking at people, styles of life, which are wrong, not Torah-dic, etc. You've allowed that to happen. So it doesn't matter why they're doing it. We're not judging them. We're not judging a person. We're not saying you made an evil choice. You didn't have any choice. But the way of life, the style of life, what life you're living is not a Torah-dic way of life, should not be lived, that's what God doesn't want. And if I just accept that you're allowed to live like that, and I do not mention any time, this is not what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, that becomes established, that becomes accepted, that becomes society understands there's a style of life like that. And that's why this halacha, only this halacha, where it says that you praise he's good, he's a good worker. But on the other hand, he doesn't keep certain Torah-dic halachas. That you have to mention. It's not Lashon Hara. It's in order to say, you have to know by children, there's a classic example, the way you can understand Rabbi Yisrael when you've got children. What you impressed with, what you are impressed with, what you encourage has an influence on children. It doesn't matter that you tell them 5,000 times. If you walk past a house, beautiful house, gold green house, fantastic car, as you go past, you give it a sort of courage. This car is amazing, etc. And you, well, do you know how fast it can go? Do you know how much it costs, etc. You walk with your little child. It doesn't matter that afterwards you go and teach him, oh, you shouldn't run after money. He's heard how enthusiastic you are about that particular style of life, and that will influence him. There's no shyle about it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. It depends on what style you want to have in your life, etc. Similarly, by Chanifa, according to Rabbeinu Yoina, the second level down is allowing, granting that there is a style of life that one can live openly and confidently and acceptedly, which is not a Torah style of life. And that, if you do that, you allow that, you're influencing people to make that into accepted style of life. That's the second level down, the nine levels in Rabbeinu Yoina Chanifa. That is quite a tough thing to say. Everyone will understand it, take it in their own way. And if you want to, you look it up in Halacha. As I said, Moshe Feinstein does mention that you're not mechuyev to mention the lack of religion, etc. When you're praising someone like that. It's a big kasha why Moshe doesn't. This Rabbeinu Yonah is a mefurish Rabbeinu Yonah. You're not allowed to cover up. You're not allowed to praise someone, even on the good things, the genuine good things, if you don't mention, but it is a major problem, etc. And this is not a problem of Lashon Hara, not a problem of Lashon Hara. So that's a halacha, quite a controversial halacha, but now we're going to explain why, why, therefore it says Lo Yisach Nifas Oret. We go into the parsha actually. You have here, perhaps, the classic example of non-chanfonus in the Torah. When the Meraglim, all 10 of them, which is an Edom, it's a pressure group, very powerful pressure group. If you think about it, it was 10 out of 12. When the Meraglim come along and they say what they have to say, there's one person who stands up. Bavdi Cholev, Ekev, Hoiso Ruach Acheres Imoi, Baimale Acharoi, Bavi Yisivel Ores Ashebo Shoma Vazava Yorishen. Cholev had Ruach Acheres. What is Ruach Acheres? Kolev's Ruach Acheres, as we all know, Kolev came from Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda, Kolev was a descendant of Yehuda, the great Melech of Klal Yisrael Yehuda. And by the way, we have the two Malchios, as you all know, and I've mentioned here before, we have this stream going throughout history of the B'nai Rochel and the B'nai Leah all the time, each of them combining, bringing Klal Yisrael, the Moshech ben Yosef, Moshech ben David, all the way through here, the same thing. You've got Yeshua and Kolev. Kolev is obviously from Yehuda, from Leah. Yeshua is from Ephraim, is from B'nai Rochel. These are the two who stand apart from everyone else. But who is the one? Ruach Acheres. Ruach Acheres is the ability to withstand public pressure. How do you do that? Because you're not a chanfen. Because it's easy to collapse. It's easy to go with the flow. It's easier, as I would say, to be part of what everyone thinks. Everyone says it like that. It's politically correct. It's conventional wisdom. It's public opinion, and so on and so forth. Ruach Acheres, that's the middle of Kolev. That came from Yehuda. Yehuda himself, Ato Yuducha Achecho, Shteit in Chumish, Yehuda. When the push came to shove, as they say in America, when push came to shove, when Yehuda was presented with his dilemma, either as a melech, just go with the flow, worry about public opinion, what they're going to say about you in the next thousands of years, every time they lay the parsha of Yehuda and Tomo, every Shabbos they lay that parsha, what will the Yidden think about you, etc., etc., go with the flow, Tzchil Hashem, it's no good, just don't say anything. Or stand up for the MS, very hard, stand up for an MS, it's your fault, so to speak, take responsibility for the Maaseh of Yehuda and Tomo, it'll be written in the Torah, it's going to be tough, it's going to be shaming, so on and so forth. But he had this koyach, this ruach acheres, to go against the stream, and there he was zeichet to Malchus. You're zeichet to Malchus when you accept the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to any other Malchus. And that is the opposite of chanfonus, as we defined Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, chanfonus, loisach nifu, is when you put world opinion, public opinion, ahead of God's opinion. And it's very hard to resist, as it were, what people are thinking, to stand up, to be a kanoi, as it were. Pinchas also came from Yehuda, as I state, that element of him, the ability to have ruach acheres. Rabbeinu Shalom says, Kolev, he's the one. He's got ruach acheres. He'll stand up for me in spite of the 10, the Edo, who's against him. But it's not only that, they represented the whole of Klal Yisrael. The one man who stood up for Rabbeinu Shlomo, and that is the opposite of Chanifa as defined by Rabbeinu Yonah. He stood up for God. He said that I'm going to go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in spite of what everyone says. That's godless of Kolev. And he was Zeichet, the Malchus was Zeichet, Eretz Yisrael. And I understand, therefore, the words of Loisach Nifres Oretz mean like this. What we're looking at here, what we're looking at with Chanifa, why it's such a pervasive, and to a certain extent terrible love, is it's the establishment of opinion other than Rabbeinu Shlomo's opinion, other than Torah opinion. Balabatshi opinion of people who are not godly. It's a massive, massive pressure. And what happens is it creates every neighborhood, every area, every land has its own culture, its own environment, its own opinions, own way of doing things. England has its way of doing things, its traditions, and so on and so forth, and some of them are excellent. But it has its ways of thinking and what is polite, what is impolite, what is correct, what is incorrect, etc., etc. Each land has its own, as it were, opinions and cultures, and this is something which is exceedingly strong. When it says Loisach Nifres Oretz, it means you're creating a neighborhood, you're creating an environment. Loisach Nifres is not just a personal thing, it's not just a love that applies to the governor, to the mensch, to the person himself. Loisach Nifres means you are creating an environment. That's an Oretz. You're creating an environment. Loisach Nifres Oretz. Don't create an environment which goes against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Don't create an environment which is non-godly. And that's why the Torah puts the expression Loisach Nifu es Oretz, since the love of Chanifa is a love of creating an environment. Rov Loilot Chumusa. Rov Loilot Chumusa. They saw and they didn't take Musa. They didn't relate it to themselves. You know, I see here just two, because it says topical, so two quick topics And one of them applies to England, one of the plays to Eretz Yisrael. I'm coming from Eretz Yisrael, I'm here in England, and I have no rights to speak about anything in England, because I don't live here, I don't have a Das Torah here, and I have no rights to talk about anything in Eretz Yisrael. But I'll just tell you about Musa. Musa you can always say. 2 points. There are two things which I noticed the moment going. One is, in Eretz Yisrael, those who are aware of the news, etc., we live it. The Arabs are coming up against the border fence. They've been doing it already 6-7 weeks already 2 months. Quite a brilliant sort of propaganda idea. They've succeeded propaganda-wise in persuading the world, the total lies, exactly what's going on. Mamish, unbelievable, unbelievable. It's believable. It's not unbelievable, by the way, because it's believable. It's only Yankov, so it's believable. You know, anyone I have a conversation with, the people talk to me about this, when you're on the plane or other people, you know, one is influencing what's going on. I say, look, I'm not talking to you about this unless you explain to me first. First explain to me why in the United Nations they should stand up for minute silence for 50 people who were killed, 40 of them who are acknowledged terrorists, right? Why should they do that? And why didn't they do that for the thousands of Syrians and in Darfur and in Rwanda? It's a why. Just explain why. I'll argue with and talk to you after you've explained to me why is that true. Why did that happen? Never did it anywhere else. Yeah, if you explain why, then we can talk about something. If you can't explain why, then I'm not talking to you. Unbelievable success in propaganda. Coming against the border fence, you know, as it were, unarmed and innocent. And here, as you know, I've seen signs up, there's a particular problem in the chinuch, I don't know, is it exaggerated, not exaggerated, I have no idea. You have rabbonim, you have askonim, it's not my position, bichlal, to comment on how to go about it, but just the aura of the musa. Let's take musa. What do I think about what's happening over here in this border fence? What does it tell me? Myself, for myself, not for others. What does it tell me about the chinuch? I think like this. A border is a chiluk, is a hafroda, is a gvul. We have a ruach acheres. We live different lives. We have a rabbein shloilom. We have messages from a kodesh boch, our Torah kodesha. We keep that, and we're in an environment which is alien to that, is anti that. The whole world is not Torah-dik and we're Torah-dik. That we have to acknowledge that. We are Torah people, we have a God, we have a lochas, we have things we keep, we are directed by that, and the rest of the world's not like that. No question. And it's an attack on us in that way. If we keep to our ruach acheres, and make sure it's acheres, we don't have chanifa, which means we don't start crumbling, making it fuzzy, etc., and trying to absorb too much of what goes on in the outside, and take aboard too many things from the outside. Rabbeinu Shalom, okay, fine. But once we start within ourselves, as it were, blurring the borders of where the Ruach HaCheres is and where not, then Rabbeinu Shalom, maybe, this is my message, everyone can have their own message, saying, okay, so you're blurring the borders, so we'll take away the borders, so they'll come against the borders. You're not making your own borders! You're not making your own Abdullah! As one of the great Gedolim said years and years ago in Berlin, if the Yidden don't make Kiddush, the Goyim are going to make Abdullah, so to speak. If we don't make our borders strong, we have Ruach HaCheres and stay strong. But no, we want to be like that, we want to get things in our lives like the non-Jewish life, etc. So Hashem said, okay, so I'll take away the borders, so you won't have borders. Let all the arrows will start coming, just pushing against the borders. And maybe a similar idea here. This is not Hadrocha. As I said, Ichbenishkun Rov here, don't have any understanding, Baruch Hashem. In England, in London, you have Gedolim, you have Rabbonim, and you have Askonim, who know what they're doing, who lead the Tzibur. But what's the message? I think the message may be against the message in Chinuch. So, if you're not standing up for your own Chinuch, you haven't got your own Ruach HaCheres, you're not strong, there's a bit of Chanifa legabe in Chinuch, so say that. So you're not doing it properly, you're not oimed in your homes, so to speak, in our homes, and making it shtark enough, making enough of Avdolah. So then we'll start an assault, we'll make an official assault, that you'll have to stick up for yourself. We'll have to have a Ruach HaCheres. Blessed Hashem, we take this Musa from Kolev, Ruach HaCheres, non-Chanifa, of being living Rabbeinu Shloilo. The Ayin Shel Malo sees everything, and that's what we're part of. We'll be Zeich HaBed Hashem to have a Gula from our problems and our Torahs, and the Moshiach will come be maybe with.